Will you take your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 2? I want to share some ideas today about the wise men and the great benefits that would come to us if we could be like the wise men. I'm wearing a shirt this morning that has "what if" on the front of it, kind of launching the idea that's conference-wide right now. What if we really were to expect God to do great things? What if we could ask great things from God and God really perform the things that we're asking from Him? For instance, what would really happen? What if God today were to give you a supernatural experience with Him? How would that affect your life, your celebration of Christmas, if today you could see, you could feel, you could acknowledge, you could admit with all of your heart that there really is a God in heaven who loves you, cares for you, lives for you, and has prepared a place for you? I think your life would change, and it would change for the better, and you would never have a Christmas like the one that you would have in a couple of days from now. Now, let's read Matthew chapter 2. I would like to begin with verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And they were saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." Let's think a little bit about these wise men. Maybe we can find some lessons that we've not yet discovered in their life story. It says here that the wise men came from the east and they came to Jerusalem. I think a couple of weeks ago we sort of settled the idea here. It doesn't really matter if we know how many of the wise men that came. We certainly think there were more than three wise men, but does it really change your outlook if there could have been 15 or 20 or even 25? I don't think so. It just makes the story that much greater, in my opinion. And it says that they came from the east and that they arrived in Jerusalem. I was doing some study earlier this past week, trying to just settle it in my mind, some of the different options of where these wise men really could have originated. And my mind went back to Babylon. You know, Babylon and Jerusalem were kind of always at odds with each other. And some of the scholars claim that Balaam, who was once a prophet of God and then turned against God, that he had written about the Messiah to come. And that through the influence of Daniel and the Babylonians, there had remained among the sacred writings of the heathen peoples there this concept that a Messiah would come. But it was really from the Jews being dispersed from Jerusalem, I believe, that the idea of a Savior, of a Messiah, of a leader being born would be told and would be preserved all over that part of the country. And I discovered by the some reading that I was doing on the internet that there's a number of pagan heathen sources that kind of repeat what the Hebrew scriptures were saying. And it just seems to me that if you have these Jews that are being captured from Jerusalem over many, many years and centuries, and they're dispersed many different places throughout that part of the country, they take with them these portions of Hebrew scriptures that describe a coming leader and a Messiah. It just seems to make a little sense to me that somewhere along the way, the heathen people who were really interested in knowing what's going to happen, they could have gotten the idea from the Hebrews, and even from the Hebrew writings, that a Messiah would come. if you believe in the book, The Desire of Ages, and if it blesses your heart when you read it, if you read along in there about 55, 60 pages, you will discover that what I'm sharing with you is repeated also in those sections. God has a way of communicating with people in ways that we don't often even think of. But what if we could be like the wise men, regardless of their faith, regardless of their convictions, and if we could just follow Christ or follow God, however you want to state it, with the amount of information that we have? What if today, with your walk with God, what if today in your spiritual journey, you could get a good glimpse of Jesus Christ? It would change your life. Have you ever heard of the wise man who was not so wise? Now, I'm not talking about the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. I'm talking about the man that left with this group of wise men, whether they came from Babylon or whether they came from whatever distant land they came from. We know they traveled for several weeks. I have no evidence that any of them left the group and went back home. But I have some evidence of human nature. I didn't get gray hairs for no reason. I didn't lose my hair for no reason. And it's not all genetics either. I know where part of it went. But just imagine with me for a moment. Let's just say about 20 or 25 of the learned, educated, wealthy men, along with others in their support team, leave their communities and they go in search of this world leader. They are not going blindly. As the shepherds had been blessed by the presence of the angels in the sky lit up. Well, these wise men who have been studying the second book of God, the book of nature, they saw that great light. They knew it wasn't a star, but they didn't know what it was. So they began to search the Hebrew scriptures to try to figure out what's happening in the heavens. And as they began to search the scriptures that had been preserved for them miraculously, they came to the conclusion that the Hebrew scriptures were very clear, that out of Jacob would come a star. So here we find this group of individuals studying and praying. And as I mentioned here a couple of weeks ago, they were searching for this knowledge of God with all of their heart. There appeared another light in the heaven, kind of like a lesser light leading to the greater light. This light in the heavens would lead them really to the Christ child. And so somehow they get organized for the trip. The camels are loaded. The donkeys are tied one to another. Their clothing is packed. Their gifts to give the newborn king, so to speak, are selected. And they leave. But I know a little bit about human nature just like you do. It's not easy to travel at night in a group. At least they had a good navigator. All they had to do was follow the star. But can you imagine a group of people walking through the woods at night? Evening after evening after evening. Oh, part of the trip could have been made down a road. They could have crossed river. They could have crossed over mountains. They could have walked through the sandy desert. But don't tell me if you're walking 300 or 400 miles or even riding a camel that you're not going to get a little saddle sore or a backache or your feet begin to hurt. The unwise wise man would have been one of those who would have been in the group, and he would have said, "Fellows, I'm not sure I'm really up to this at all. If this world leader, if this king of the Jews is really born, why do we have to go so far to see him? Why couldn't he be born a little closer to us?" Now, the guys that were really smart, they could have said, the scriptures speak about Bethlehem. And by the way, we just read the scripture there where he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. There were two Bethlehems, one up near Nazareth and one down near Jerusalem, and this was the Bethlehem of Jacob, of Judea. That's where the Bible said he would be born, and that's how it had happened. But the unwise wise man would have been the one that said, "I'm tired of this journey. I don't want to go anymore. I'm going back to Mama." So he would have left the group, and he would have gone back. The journey would have been too much. It would have demanded too much. A man called me this very morning, and I know this man well. I've known him for many years. Sometimes we pray together. But this morning he called and he said, "Are you preaching today?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, preach the truth." He said, "Preach the truth today." After we hung up, I thought, well, does he think I don't preach the truth some days? The truth here of this group of wise men is very distinctly taught in Scripture. They wanted something better than they had. And in their heathen mindset, God was able to reach out and touch them. You know, we have some people today, even in our denomination, who believe that you shouldn't read or listen to anything that's not written or published or presented by Seventh-day Adventists. That's a very narrow-minded view. Now, it's good advice for people who are just beginning to grow in Christ. I will admit we need some safeguards. But God is working on the hearts and minds of people all over the world today. Not just people of our faith, but people everywhere, and even people who are not of the Christian faith. Now, you listen very closely. God is wanting to connect with people all over the world because he died for all of mankind. And the wise men, very, very aptly, they represent in my mind the group of people who knew something should happen. They knew there could be a better life and a better way. They weren't exactly sure how it was all going to develop. But with the possession of, and with a small amount of scripture they had, probably had the book of Genesis and probably had the book of Isaiah and had the book of Numbers probably and some other books. It wasn't complete. But as they had searched through the Hebrew scriptures, they were convinced that God, this mighty creator God, was going to work. It was time for the world to have a light of hope as they had never had. And this group of men wanted to be part of that journey. Now, notice verse 2. It says, they came from the east to Jerusalem, and they said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" They had enough knowledge of this to understand that he wasn't yet fully grown, They had enough knowledge to understand that this king of the Jews would be born. And the great question they were asking is, where is he? Listen to me. If you leave here today, I want you to leave with the knowledge of two things. The wise men found Christ through the influence of God's power and through the influence of the prophets of the Scriptures. That's how they found him. That's how you will find him, is to realize God's power that affirms your faith, and then the words of Scripture are what keeps you going on a daily basis. What if you were to have a supernatural experience with God today? What if something were to happen to you that you know is not just by chance? That out of all the people in the world, God selected you and the divine providence of this day to make it happen. Would that not strengthen your faith? I think I've told you about visiting with a pastor. We went to visit a lady 7 times, and on the 7th time she opened the door, she was standing there crying, and she said, "I was praying that the next people who knocked on my door would represent the church that I was supposed to join." And that was the first time I'd ever found that lady at home. That does something to me. Yes, God's at work. You folks don't know this, and I don't understand all of it. But the last 2 or 3 years particularly, it's like on Friday night and Sabbath morning, the devil seems to know where I am. More than once, several times, I've stood behind this pulpit and I can barely see the words of Scripture, because when you get a migraine headache, it affects everything about you. I was sharing with you not long ago here how that Don, where are you, Don? It happens with such rapidity. Now, when I come in this door, I want her to be here. I've got medicine in my pocket. But it's comforting to me to know there's somebody here that understands. I've laid on that floor back there in my office before coming up here, and my prayer has been, God, just give me the strength today. I don't know if it's harassment. I don't know what it is. I don't even know, maybe it's God's beautiful way of saying, Wendell, I care about you, and I've got to get your attention. But I will make you well so you can preach. But he does it. And I'm glad that I can focus more on what happens afterward than the pain that takes place during it. To me, it's a supernatural experience. I don't know what's taking place. But I know the medication works and God honors. And so far, I've been able to give my messages on Sabbath morning. And I say, praise God. To me, that lets me know God is still in control. Verse 2 here. These wise men, the Bible says, they ask the question, where is he? Where is God to you right now? If you're traveling on a spiritual journey, you know you can't run from God. God knows where you are. You can't hide from him. He uncovers everything in your life, and he loves you still the more abundantly. As naked as you stand before him, he wants to say, I love you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to heal you. But where is God today to you? If you were looking for God today, if a small child, 5 years old, were to ask you, where is Jesus? what would you say? Now, the learned among us would say, oh, as you study the 2300-day prophecy, you become to know that he's in the heavenly sanctuary, that he's interceding in man's behalf. Is that a lie? No. Is that the truth? It's the truth. But how do you put that into little Hannah sitting right here? How do you put that into her mind? You know where she's going to see Jesus? All these little kids right here? You know where I'm going with this. They are going to see Jesus in you. And if you act like a jerk, they're not going to see him. People are leaving the Christian faith by the thousands because of a lack of true, genuine conversion. People who have never really met Christ. On the journey to find him, something happens. They give up. When they get in the valley of the shadow of death, they give up. Their spiritual journey tires them. I'm suggesting that we can have stability in our walk through the power of God and through the presence of Scripture or through the power of the prophets if we would study. I learned something. I did most of my study a little earlier this week. But I learned a difference in a way to study Scripture. The wise men were studying Scripture in a way that some of us need to pattern our way of study. You may not be studying the Bible the way the wise men were studying their scrolls way back then. But what if you would study like they studied? Here's what would happen to you. In their heathen mind now, never making an animal sacrifice, never laying their head on an animal and making confession of sin, but acting on the truth that they had and the inner longing of the soul of man for a better life. As they studied the Hebrew Scriptures, they began to study the Scriptures as to how they could conform to the God of those Scriptures. Now that's the proper way to study Scripture. I wish somebody would have told me that a long time ago. I've probably spent too much time studying why I was right and somebody else was wrong. Get over it. We need to study like the wise men as to how we can conform to the image of God. How we can be transformed into his image. I grew up, as I've told you before, I've been in church all my life. And I've heard a lot of sermons about how hot hell is. And I've probably preached too many sermons about what happens to people when they burn. I'd rather talk about avoiding the fire. That's where I'm at now in my journey. I'm not planning to burn. I don't want my loved ones to be separated from God. I want them to be connected. These wise men, as they came into Jerusalem, they were expecting something they didn't see at all. They were expecting to see pomp and royalty and They didn't get any of it. They went down to the temple and asked about, you know, where's the Messiah? Must have been something for this large group of, quote, wise men to come into Jerusalem. They got everybody's attention, including the IRS. I made that up. That's not in the Bible. But that's Herod. So he calls them in and says, what do y'all want? Where are you from? And what have you learned about the new king of the Jews? But he gave them some advice that I want to give you today, and I want to take it too. This is advice from a heathen pagan king who was a murderer. He killed babies. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 2. Verse 8. Herod says, go and search carefully for the young child. Would that not be good advice for all of us today? Go and search carefully for the young child. Last week I heard a children's story in Ranger, and I'm going to use it sometime. You know, it's okay to copy a little bit. But the lady had me stand and hold a doll. And she said, this is baby Jesus. And I stood there like a proud parent holding the baby. She says, this time of the year, We put him in a manger. He's a baby. And she says, for a few days, we celebrate his birth. And then she says, we put him away. But around Easter, we get him back out again. He's all grown up. We put him on the cross. We put him in the grave. And then we talk about him being resurrected. I couldn't figure out where she's going with this story. The children's story was that Christ is really alive all year long, not just during special times of the year. But when I tell that children's story, I want to take him as a baby in Bethlehem. I want to take him as a child. Take him to the cross. Take him to the grave. Take him out. I'm going to add some to it. And put him up there. But there's another part too. I'm going to put him coming down. He is going to return. And when he comes back, the literal form of Christ's presence, and the scriptures say that we will see him face to face. So this lesson from the wise men here in that regard is that if we will search for him now listen to me. The Bible says, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's really what God wants from you. Your Creator, who loves you, He wants you to give Him your love. He wants you to give Him your trust. It's a little hard to do sometimes when you're on this journey of life. Because you go up the valley, you go up the hill, you go across the river, your feet hurt, your back hurts, and people around you die. But He says, I want you to trust Me. Give Me your heart. Give Me your gift. Just give it to Me. Isn't there a lot of good directions you can go with a story of the wise men? I would be so pleased this afternoon. It's raining. You can't go for a hike. And I know you don't want to sleep during this cool, rainy weather. Go home and search the Scriptures a little bit on your own as to how you can be transformed into His image. And it's then you will find Christ. You will find Him just like the wise men found Him. And I hope when you find Him, you will engage with Him and love Him and serve Him. And with a mighty group of the redeemed, someday your voice will shout with the holy angels, "Lo, this is My God. I have waited for Him, and He will save Me." That's my prayer for you.